Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around.
If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hey, Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show. It's coming in on the burning lights. We're running away, we're running tonight. Impossible comes true. It's taking over you. This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. With your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right, this is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 328, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing good, Mr. Klinsman. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad.
Good.
Get a little stretch of nice hot weather up here in New England.
Oh, it was like, I like to hear that.
80, is it like 80? 84, 85 today. Tomorrow's going to be a high of 87, I believe. Got pool day tomorrow, Billy.
Pool day?
Pool day tomorrow.
I mean, what does that entail?
Hanging out and swimming in the pool.
What kind of games do you have, though? Talk to me about the equipment.
I don't have a lot of
been
games.
Been there long enough.
So the games we don't have a lot because the girls aren't the best swimmers yet. So basically the time we're in the pool, it's just keeping them from drowning.
Oh, okay.
Which is important.
Yep. So you got to put like the arm floats on? Is that
no,
what they use?
No, we have like the little, they just usually, one of them will hang on one of us. And Yergina's okay. Getting pretty good. She like uses a little kickboard thing that she has and she can swim mm-hmm. around the pool with that. But we got to really keep our eyes on them, you know?
No, Do you have to enroll them in swimming lessons, or is this something that you can probably teach them?
We're kind of working on it ourselves. They do have them at like the Y. They mm-hmm. have the swimming classes, and they did them a little bit when they were real young, but that kind of went away for a couple of years. So hopefully, now that we have the pool and we'll go in quite often this summer, they'll take to it pretty good.
Where did you learn how to swim?
I have no idea. I don't remember learning how to swim.
I learned at the beach with Mr. Rampino.
I always remember just knowing how.
Okay.
So I must have learned pretty young. I don't know if my parents took me to classes or just because we had the pool.
Yeah, you know, that's true because nobody had pools. I mean, we got a pool when I was a teenager, but
the
only water time was when you went to the beach. And
right.
It was kind of easier learning in the beach because you can go shallow.
Shallow. You don't really swim
floating.
At the beach too much. Generally. I mean, you can.
I did down here in the Gulf.
Yeah, you can, but like when you go to like Narragansett Beach, you're usually just hanging out like waist high, letting the waves crash over. You're not going out far enough to like really swim. Or I don't, anyway. I'm not a beach guy, anyway. I'm definitely a pool guy. I like pools way better than the beach.
So do I, but there's still something about the beach that I love.
You do, yeah. I don't like...
I think it's here. I think what I didn't like it up there because they were so crowded because you had such a small window.
Yeah.
And they were always crowded. And we were actually snobs in high school. Like, our gang, we got the yearly pass to Narragansett Town Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So that... Because it was smaller.
Right.
And you didn't have to deal with a lot of the garbage. And my senior year, it was like, I don't know, $10. It was a no-brainer.
Right, yeah.
So you go at that, and like summer days, we go down there, and there's a handful of people there. But you go, you know, a mile down the road at Scarborough, and whew, hello.
Wall to wall, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I kind of, that's part I don't like, because I felt like you always had to get there early to get a good spot, and then mm-hmm. it gets crowded, and then you got people like trying to get by your blanket to get to the water, and it's like a whole thing.
And then you got the guy who chain smokes, and he's right next to you.
Yeah, I don't think
you always found that guy.
I don't think you could smoke at the beaches anymore.
Oh, is that banned?
Yeah.
Raimondo is out there patrolling.
That's been a while. I don't know if Raimondo came up with that or not. But so, what else is new? How's the membership?
It's good.
Yeah, I played my first 9 holes last week.
Yeah, you told me you hit your 72.
Yeah, my new 72-degree wedge. The guy I played with, who was a caddy, he was trying to tell me that the 72-degree club is illegal. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So I wasn't going to argue with them. But I looked it up afterwards, and there are no loft restrictions, according to the USGA and the RNA. There are groove restrictions. You can't have the V-shape, like the square grooves on clubs. But as far as loft, I mean, you could have an 85-degree loft if you wanted to. That thing's stupid, Bill, the 72.
You like it?
Oh, I kind of do, because I was in a bunker on the par 3. I hit it short. It played longer than I realized. I hit it pretty good, but I came up short, and it's this like little pot bunker. That must have been, what, 5? Is that a par 3 at Cranston? Hole number 5?
Would you play the front?
Yeah.
Number 4 is a long par 3.
4, yeah, that was the one. So we were at the Whites, and it was like 185 on the
card.
Yeah,
that's a tough
hole. But the pin was tucked way in the back, so it was probably playing like 200 to the pin. Mm-hmm. And I hit a pretty...
And it's slight. It's uphill, too.
Yeah, so I hit a decent shot. I hit a 6 iron, but I didn't have enough club. And I hit it good, but I came up well short, and I ended up in this little bunker. And I go in, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I'm taking out the 72. And that thing, the beautiful thing about that, Bill... You don't have to, like, open your stance or open the club face up. You just swing at it, and it just pops right out.
You almost hit
it
like a chip?
Yeah, I just swung. I did, like, a half, like, swing, and it just popped right out onto the green. But not a great shot, but it's, like, 15 feet.
Oh, yeah, gave yourself a chance for par.
Yeah, I mean, I missed the putt, but that's neither here nor there.
What's, you just played 9?
Yeah, I went at, like...
Did you walk?
Yeah, I went at, like, 3 o'clock.
What's the walking rate for 9?
It was $29.
Now, what is it for 18?
49 to walk.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's high.
Is it? It doesn't seem too bad.
I don't know what your rates are there. I'm just saying we can get Lakewood National now at 1 for like 45. And that's 18 holes with a cart. So.
Right. But, this is off season for you. This is the only season we have.
Yeah, no, I know.
So what's Lakewood National in February? It's 110 probably.
Yeah, it's a buck 10. Yeah.
This is as high as it goes.
That's in the morning. In the afternoon, when we were playing there every Saturday, we got the cheapskate discount where we went out at 12:45.
Yeah.
And it was anywhere between 51 and 56 bucks.
Yeah, so that's not bad.
You can't beat that.
Right.
But, you know, the tee shot, the one before us and the one after us was back up to like 82.
Mm.
We just had this guy who had this app, and he would get up at 6 in the morning on the day that we can book it, and he always got it. Yeah, always got it. It was beautiful.
So how have you been playing? You said you had a story to tell about the golf that you played.
Ah, so this place, man, this place is so, so, so Donald Ross. I mean, I missed a couple greens, and mm-hmm. I was on tees on the next hole.
They're just so
tight. You know
how
close these holes are.
Well, that's just
are.
Old school, so it must be an older course because they
it's 100 years old.
Yeah, so he just fits a lot of golf courses into small spaces.
Right.
Yeah.
So I finish this par 3, right, and I get up to the next tee box, and I look. I see the tee, and I look, and there's a green right behind me. I'm like, all right, this isn't, you know, a 30-yard par 3. So I look down. I don't see the flag because it's just – the thing is so open, so you know like when there's holes and there's no trees or any like in behind, so you don't really have a good vantage point?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking, and okay, so I tee it up, and I just absolutely smoked this drive. I hit it so good, and I'm like, I'm going to be walking for a while, baby. So I grab my water out of my bag, throw it on my shoulder, and I start walking, and I'm about 60 yards from the green, and I look, and I see this guy. He's putting. This is a par 3. I said, I just sizzled this ball way over this guy's head. So I kind of like, he didn't look at me. And like, I just turned around and did this like slow jog back to the tee box.
Yeah.
And I figured out where the next hole was. But I'm like, this guy has no clue. He probably heard this clank, but it wasn't really, like I wished, you know, it's 130 yard par 3. I mean, this ball didn't come. I smoked it. I mean, granted, if I teed it up again, I could have hit a worm burner and took out his shins.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was really embarrassing.
No, you didn't obviously
look for the ball.
You didn't. No, you left the ball. That one's gone to the gods. Right? I'll get that one on the next loop through about parts. How many holes did you play? You said you just decided to throw it on. You just played 9 holes or something?
No, I played 18.
That was your first full round there, right?
First full round. I was hitting balls.
How'd you like it?
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Yeah.
There was nobody there, and I'm talking to, like, full-time members who gave me, like, their phone number. It's a super friendly club.
Nice.
And, like, this guy, he's a full-time, and his buddy just joined for the summer, but his buddy's kicking around maybe joining. So they were going to go out. And he said, you want to join us? I'm like, I got to hit some balls first, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but I'm going to walk, and if I catch you, yeah, I'd love to play with you. But they were in a cart, and they were gone. And there's nobody out there. So I'm like, you know what? I haven't played in a while. This is a good time to play because I'm not going to be with three guys who are good. You know, if I go out and really slap it around, it's just me, so I don't care. And what a treat. I mean, it kicked my butt. The greens are small. They're undulated, so it's difficult, but it wasn't. When you were done, you were tired.
Yeah.
Like, you don't lose balls. If you go right, yeah, you're in a little bit of trees, but you always found your ball when you went right or left.
Yeah, that's the thing. Usually, with the Donald Ross courses, or the older courses, it's more shot-making.
Yes.
Like, they're not super long. You're going to have an 8-iron in your hand quite a bit, but you got to be able to hit it in the 20-yard window.
This place still played at 63 from the whites, which is pretty long.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's
pretty decent, long.
Yeah,
but again, the Donald Ross, you got to hit every club in the bag. I mean, there was a par three that I had to smoke a 5-iron, another one where I had to hit a good 7-iron, and then the other side it was 9-iron and 8-iron. So I mean, it's so cool because you know you get to some of these places and it's like knockdown pitch and wedge.
Every par three is like 128.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, it's just that's what it
I
is.
I mean, it's okay. It's good for me because I don't like hitting 5-irons into par threes.
No, I don't either, but once in a while, it's kind of nice.
It is kind of nice.
Especially on a hole that occasionally might play downwind, and then you're really hitting just like you're hitting an easy 6, maybe.
Yeah.
But the next time it's into the wind, and you got to think about like trying to smoke a 4-iron or something, that makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice, though.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I forget how much I love Donald Ross.
And just that you can walk, you love that, too.
Bill, it was just like, I text my buddy, the pro that I used to work with, and I'm like, I heard the clanks. Because I just brought my practice bag. Now, when I play, I'm going to bring my push cart and stuff, because it's still kind of a pain to throw it on your shoulders.
You weren't necessarily planning on playing.
Planning on it. Yeah, it just happened. But you're walking, and you hear the clank, 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 and I'm like, God, I miss this. I love this. I don't think I could ever go back to cart golf. That's tough.
Hard. Yeah. Once in a while, like the Disney courses, you kind of have to just because
it's fine.
So
you do a
out,
resort. Yeah. I understand. That's fine. I don't mind that. But
every
like
day,
for
yeah.
every day, I just like to and like going out. You know, like what time did I go out? I went out at 4:45.
I feel like as a single, you play quicker walking than riding.
Oh, no doubt.
Because you're not going back and forth to the cart. Like if you forget a club, then you got to run back to the cart to switch clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That's very easy when you're by yourself to walk.
Oh, because you just go right to your ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're taking the shortest route, so you're not staying on the cart path.
Right, exactly.
You know, the cart path goes this way, and I'm just going right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably not down the middle very often. Be you.
No, I only hit, what did I hit? Only 3 fairways.
Eesh.
It's awful. That's hit bad. 0 greens. 0.
That's not
good. I was 0 for 18.
That's a tough to make a score when you don't hit 1 green.
Yeah, it's really tough.
It's not easy. Hey, would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
I would love to, Mr. Pons. Pons, yeah, sure, tell me, Pons.
This one's from the Appanog Brewing Company out of Warwick, Rhode Island, right down
Warwick,
the street
Rhode Island.
From
beautiful, beautiful. Don't mistake it for West Warwick, Rhode Island.
No, please don't. We talked about that. This one's called Lonely at the Top. It's a Kolsch-style ale, 5.2% alcohol by volume. It's a pint. And it says, Lonely at the Top, aside from being a fantastic Randy Newman song. Oh, we got the song for the break here. Is both a reference to a Kolsch requiring the use of a top fermenting ale yeast strain, as well as not being a terribly common style in the U.S. So there
Randy
you go.
Newman's good.
I do like Randy Newman. So off to play Lonely at the Top and the break coming up here. One sip, everybody knows the rules. Lonely at the Top, Appanog Brewing. This is good. It is an uncommon style, like it says, but a Kolsch is just like a very German kind of just traditional beer. Like, I feel like I'm in Germany at Epcot drinking this beer. I like it. This one's pretty good. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. 7.7.
Whoa.
Good score.
Whoa, Billy.
Good score.
Whoa.
I've been generous with the scores lately.
Yeah, you have.
I've been happy with my drinks. What can I say?
Hey, I mean, it's fair.
Yeah. I'm nothing if not fair. Well, with that being said, maybe we should take our first break. What do you think?
Sounds good, Bill.
All right, we'll be right back.
I've been around the world, had my pick of any girl. You'd think I'd be happy, but I'm not. Everybody knows my name, but it's just a crazy game. Oh, it's lonely at the top. Listen to the band they're playing just for me. Listen to the people paying just for me.
All right, we're back from break. Episode number 328 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And this week, as we mentioned last week, we're going to talk about our top five attractions, period. End of sentence. Not at one park, not at each park, total at Walt Disney World. Top five attractions. Now, you may be saying, five, that's easy. You just pick five attractions. No. Top 10 would be so easy to do, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Top five is difficult. You're like top bleeding over this list.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. But I got it pared down. I have a lengthy honorable mention list, which I don't even know if I want to talk about because that kind of cheapens it, I think. But we'll see.
We might be able to get into a couple.
We could decide at the end. Now, I assume you rank them in order, five
Correct.
To one. Okay.
Correct.
So I want you to start out with your number five here, unless you have anything you want to add first.
No, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry, our top five in all the parks. My number five is at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, and it is the Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Huh, very nice. Great attraction. Ironically, my number five is also Kilimanjaro Safari at Disney Animal Kingdom.
I love that.
It's a great ride. I think
you see something new every time.
Mm-hmm. It's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Good interaction. You know, a live cast member on the ride, which is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And they generally do a really good job. We've had some great ones.
Yeah, we have.
And it just adds so much to it when you have a really good safari driver. That gives you a lot of information. And then, you know, if you time it right, you get a lot of good interactions. You could see a lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really had a boring one, to say the least.
Plus, it's long.
Yeah.
I just like that, you know, 15 minute, whatever it is, 18, 19.
I think it's longer
just,
than that. Yeah, it's pretty
long.
Yeah,
it might
long.
Be. I love that.
But, yeah, I enjoy it quite a bit, obviously. So we both picked that as our number five.
Yeah.
I think it's the best attraction at Animal Kingdom.
I would agree.
So that pretty much, we know where our list stands at that point. But yeah, I mean, it's just so great. And I love other rides there. I mean, you're a big, Collie River Rapids guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You love that. I love, Everest.
I love Everest.
Yeah, you do too. But
Safari, I love just, the shows.
The shows are great, but the Safari just stands out so far ahead in my mind of those, just because of the scale of it. It's so enormous, too. The whole ride.
You see, like a Google Map. It's it's
ridiculous.
Humongous.
And we were probably a pitching wedge away from that when we stayed at Orange Lake. If you look at the Google Maps.
I mean, if we actually played there, the way I was driving the ball, we might have had some issues.
It might have hit a white rhino in its ass or something. All right, so we both had the same number five. Hopefully, we don't both have the same number four. But why don't you go ahead?
Number four, we're going to the Magic Kingdom.
Okay,
I've got the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover.
Ooh, beautiful, Billy. That's. What can you say? What
That's
can you
another
say
one
about it? Yeah.
Where you just sit down, you relax, you passively check everything out, but you talk to your family or whoever you're with. It's a beautiful, beautiful attraction.
I could ride that multiple times every time I'm at Magic Kingdom. And there's usually, occasionally if it breaks down, you have to wait a little bit to go up the escalator, but generally you can just go right on and
it's
sit
a
down
on.
And not have to do anything, which is a fantastic advantage of it as well.
What's your favorite part of that ride?
Well, let's put a pin in that. How about?
Okay.
Personally, how about you? What's your favorite part of the ride?
I like when you're going, just getting into Space Mountain, mm-hmm. the paging to Mr. Morrow.
Yes, that's
and you see like the family and
mm-hmm.
all the things that you see on the left and the right of the vehicle.
Yeah, inside. Yeah, that is nice.
Inside, that's probably my favorite part.
That is a good part. Well, we'll revisit that question
okay.
in a little bit. My number four is at Epcot Center, and it is the, you know, the weenie, the signature of the park, and that is Spaceship Earth. Just, I mean, what? It's just the best. I love Spaceship Earth. Obviously not the best, because it's my number four, but
mm-hmm.
it's just so good. Everything about it just rings true to old school Epcot. Got the narration, the great narration, the great animatronics. Like you said, it's just slow, relaxed. It takes a while. You can really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like, it's the same. Obviously, it's never really changed, but you kind of see something different every time. There's so much to look at in there. So
you
I
always
just,
hear something different, too.
Yeah.
That's my number three, so let's continue
we'll
on with this conversation.
Go into that, but it's just a great overall attraction. Yeah, I mean, the ride down with the little TV screens, I could take it or leave it. I don't mind it. But just the whole first half of that ride is just so fantastic that it had to make my top five, no doubt. It's not a trip to Epcot without going on that, is it?
Absolutely not. What's your favorite part of that ride?
I just love, to be honest, I think my favorite is like the first walking up the ramp going into Spaceship Earth, like when you see the mural outside. And then you get in and you see the ride vehicles and you finally get to your ride vehicle on the moving sidewalk. And then you start the ascent up the hill and you just get that like anticipation. I love the anticipation.
Where they take your picture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about the picture part.
No, I know, but.
But yeah, that whole like first 5 minutes of it is just great. And then you get into it, into the narration and like you just know you're like old school. Great attraction, animatronics. Like you just can marvel at it at that point. So
I still love the smell of the fire.
That is great. The Rome burning. Every part though, like you see the girl on the computer, and mm-hmm. then you get like the Bill Gates wannabe in the garage, and you get like mm-hmm. the people watching the moon landing. It's just all so good. All the old school stuff. You could like kind of see where they reuse some of the animatronics. See the people from like Carousel of Progress in there in different scenes and things like that. So
it's so perfect.
Oh, it is. It's so good. So that was your number three, my number four. So my number three, I think this is where we may part a little bit because my next couple probably aren't going to make your list. My number three, we're at Magic Kingdom, is the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, it's kind of like a cheerleader attraction. If you will.
It's still an old classic,
but
though.
It's an old classic. It's not no shoehorned IP. It's using the old practical effects, the same soundtrack, the same narration. It's just everything about it. And, like, you know, it has kind of Disney's fingerprints all over it. That was, like, one of the last things he really worked on before he died and came up with. And, you know, just the Imagineers that were involved with it.
Uh-huh.
The soundtrack, everything about it, the effect. I just love it.
And just standing outside waiting to go on.
Yeah, the queue's great, too. I mean, overall package, you're walking by and just seeing it, especially at night. If you're at Magic Kingdom at night and you walk by and you kind of see the mist coming off the water behind it and everything, it's just such a, overall, it's just like a great area of the park, and the attraction always is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think my favorite part is probably when they, at the end in the graveyard scene where the song plays, because I love the song, the Grim Grinning Ghosts. So.
I think your oldest saint has sang that a few times.
Yeah, they both love it. They both love the song.
Do they both?
Yeah, they both will sing it occasionally. Yeah, it's a good song. So that also helps it hold a place in my heart. Although they're too afraid to go on it.
They think
it's going to be scary.
Okay.
But they like the soundtrack, and we've watched YouTubes of it and stuff, so... Maybe next time we go, I can convince one of them, if not both of them, to go on with me. which would be
you've
fantastic.
Always loved that though. I'm surprised it's not even higher because you've always loved that attraction.
Well, you'll see what else I have, and maybe you won't be as surprised once you hear my top two. Speaking of, what's your number two, sir?
My number two. I think you might be a little surprised with this.
Okay.
Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Going back to Magic Kingdom. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
I am not surprised. I figured that was going to be in your top five.
Did you really? Why? Yeah.
Just you. It's old school again.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the Tony Baxter, the cue, the story behind it. There's no characters. It's just a pure Disney attraction. Like, the roller coaster is great on its own.
Yeah.
But it's 100 times better because of the buildup and the story that you get with it. Like, you could get that track anywhere.
Right.
And that level of thrill at any Six Flags or any little amusement park.
Right.
But you don't get the story. You don't get the scene walking up to it. Just hearing the train go around, hearing the people scream. Like, when you're over on Tom Sawyer Island and seeing the train whip around the corner. Like, it's just so fantastic. Now, it did not make my top five, but I love it, and I am not surprised at all that it made yours. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite aspect of that ride?
You know, it's going up maybe the first hill, and they took that rock falling away from that ride years and years ago. When I was a kid, there was like a boulder that was coming down as you're going up that hill.
Oh, really?
Well, like, they have off to the right, they have, like, you know, it looks like water crystals, and you got the water with the rocks.
Yeah,
and
the Rainbow Caverns, yep.
Yeah, and you're going up, and there used to be where, like, a little boulder was falling down, like, on the train. It was super cool.
Nice.
So probably because I remember that when I was a kid, it's still my favorite part of that ride.
That is.
What's yours?
That first going up through the Rainbow Caverns, hearing the click as it's catching on the
click,
chain.
Click, 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 yeah.
And you just go around the turn. I also like kind of near the end where the guy's in the bathtub and the goat's out there. I like that part as well.
Mm-hmm. And even a couple of, like, those small, subtle dips.
Yeah, where you're like...
They make you laugh. For some reason, you laugh. Yeah. You know, it's not scary, but you just start laughing because it's so cool.
Get that little feeling, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I'm staying local with you. I'm right next door for my number two.
Yeah, I know.
And it's going to be a... maybe never again, but Splash Mountain is my number two. Again, it's just... You get so much bang for your buck on that ride. Because, yeah, everyone thinks about the drop, and that is fun and thrilling. But the lead up to it, with
so
all the
awesome,
animatronics.
It? It's so great.
The soundtrack, just the theming. Even the queue is really good on that one. And you go in, and you have those little, again, like the little drops leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're with someone for their first time, you could be like, here's the drop. And you do this, like, little one, and they'll like elbow you in the stomach or whatever, and then, you know, you get to the real one, and it's boom, the big drop. Then you go around, and you get the best scene where they're singing Zippity Doo Dah at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just so perfect. And
go FSU.
Yeah, that little the little nuggets are in there like that. But yeah, I love that ride. It's probably my favorite technical thrill ride, I guess, if you could call it that. But it's just so much more.
Oh, there's
with
so,
the animatronics is what I like more about it. Yeah,
it's long. Mm-hmm. I like the longer rides, as do you.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're really getting for a while, but you feel like you're getting it. It's like, I waited for a long time for this, but you have so much to look at, and again, like, the re-rideability on it is through the roof because you see something different every time.
Uh huh.
And there's great views coming down the big drop if you time it right.
If you go on it at night during fireworks,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yep, fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right, do we need like a drum roll here for the number one, or you just want to come right out with it?
My number one attraction in all of Walt Disney World is at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And it's Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress.
Okay, very nice. I wasn't sure where that fell as far as attraction or show, or if we lumped those together.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of on the fence, and it did not make my list. It's probably right outside the top five anyway for me, as much as I love it.
Okay.
But I don't really think of that as an attraction. I think of it more as a show. But okay. Either way, I think you could definitely consider it an attraction, and it's your favorite, and I don't blame you for that. It's fantastic. I mean, there's just so much to love about it.
I go on that thing every time I'm there.
It just makes you feel happy. Makes me feel happy.
Every time I'm there, Bill.
I'll sing along to it. I'm such, like, you say the jokes, everything about it. It's so cheesy, so corny, but it's just like, it's perfect. It's a piece of history at this point.
It's just, I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. It's just perfect.
It's great. Yeah, it really is.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I want to go on that now.
I mean, I'll stay at the Grand Floridian. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to go over to Magic Kingdom just to go on the Carousel of Progress. I'll be back in about an hour or so. Yeah. I mean, that's how cool that thing is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that is pretty good. Can't really give you too much crap for picking that one as your number one.
People listening to this, like, what is he talking about?
Who are these idiots?
What Carousel of Progress?
Does he know Space Mountain's like 100 yards
There's
away
like
from there?
There's like 10 people in that theater. What is this guy talking about?
Well, my number one, also in Magic Kingdom, I'm going with the Monsters, Inc. Lafleur. No, just kidding. I don't know if I got you at all for that, but... I'm staying at Tomorrowland, though. My number one is the TTA People Mover, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. It's just that's my ride. That's when, like, I know I'm at Disney is when I'm on that thing.
We just have so many
good memories. You know, both my daughters have been on it with me. I've been on with you, been on with my family, you know, been on by myself, been on just my wife. Everything about it, it's like, it's just always been there.
You know, it's so funny, too. It's stuck in my craw. When the day that we all wore our T-shirts, matching T-shirts.
Yeah.
Remember we were getting on, the guy's like, oh, that's a cool T-shirt. Where'd you get that?
Yeah, exactly.
It was right there when we got to the top of the escalator.
I remember that.
And he was seating us. I totally remember that.
Yeah, and again, there was like, like 10 of us just piling onto that thing. And
it's
a bunch of nerds wearing matching Carousel of Progress T-shirts, having a good time. You know, that was like the beginning of everything. That was the trip that got you to move to Florida.
Got me to move to Florida.
Podcast started. You know, that was the first time we had seen each other in, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, 2014. Yeah, it had been a while.
So it's just, it was a big trip, obviously. And that ride it's just perfect to me because every time you go on it, you go around, like you said, you asked me before what my favorite part of that ride.
Right.
And honestly, like you said, going into Space Mountain, I think coming out is my favorite because you get the narration and they talk about the Carousel of Progress, and this is the longest running show. And, you know, you go through and then you go around the gift shops and you come around the corner and you can see the castle from it and everything. I like that part coming out of Space Mountain, to be honest. But it's all good. It's hard to pick a favorite because the whole thing's so enjoyable.
Well, I, too, remember, too, it was Kristen's birthday, so I wanted to take her out for breakfast. Mm-hmm. So we did the Mickey meet and greet.
And then you screwed.
I said, you know what? Yeah. We're right at the front. We're going to go walk over to Contempo Cafe, grab a breakfast, and head back. And I think you said you were going to do the Monsters Laugh Floor and head over to Tomorrowland. I remember when we were leaving the Contemporary, I texted you. I said, where are you? And you said, oh, we just did Carousel of Progress. We're going to do the People Mover. And I'm like, all right, I'll be there like in 11 minutes. I'm like, just stand by. And that's when we all met up again. And I went on that.
Yeah. It's like the perfect meetup spot.
Oh, it is.
Because you notice that, like, you'll go over, get a Joffrey's, and then you'll be like, all right, we'll get a coffee over at the stand, and then we'll sit around, and then we'll go on the People Mover, and then, we got a fast pass for Space Mountain at 10:30, so we'll just kill time to the People Mover once or twice or something. You know, it's just like the perfect thing.
And it's so dead where you can just ask the guy, like, hey, can we just stay on?
Usually. Not all the time, but a lot of times it is, yeah. Yeah, it's great. I love it. Now, you had solicited some social media interaction, I believe.
I did.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
What did we get? You got some feedback?
Yeah, I got a little bit. What do you want to start at?
I don't know. Go ahead. I'll pull up the Instagram if you want to do the Facebook.
Okay, that's fair.
So we got a couple comments on the Instagram here. We got Mary from the Everything is Satisfactual podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She has her top five. She picked Fantasmic, Space Mountain, Carousel of Progress. I'm going from 5 to 1, by the way. So, Phantasmagoria 5, Space Mountain 4, Carousel of Progress 3, Dinosaur number 2, which is a shock to me, and Tower of Terror number 1. I know she loves Tower of Terror, so I can understand that. And apparently she asked my father as well.
Oh, beautiful.
And so we got his answers. And his number 5 is The Jungle Cruise. Then number 4 is Haunted Mansion, which I didn't realize he liked that much.
Okay.
His number 3 is Festival of the Lion King, which I know he's a huge fan of. His number 2 is Carousel of Progress. And his number 1 is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yeah, there we go. Frank, I thought Frank had some solid selections.
Those are good selections. Do you want to...
Solid selections.
Would you like to read your wife's selections, or should I read them since I have
You can Instagram read them because I don't have Instagram.
Okay. I assume she did hers in reverse order as well, based on what she has first. I think that's her number 1. So, her number 5 is Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tower of Terror, Spaceship Earth, Rock and Roller Coaster, and then Peter Pan's Flight, which I know she's a huge fan of Peter Pan's Flight.
That's her number 1. And it was funny, we were walking a dog, and I said, try to pick my top 5. She came up with 3, but she had trouble with the other ones.
Mm.
And I said something. I said, I'm not picking roller coasters, because she's like, oh, Thunder Mountain. She's like, that would be like bottom of my list as far as like roller. I'm like, I'm not
it's
picking
not because
roller coasters.
It's a roller coaster. You picked it because of the because
my
else.
favorite. I'm like, I kept thrill rides off this list because
now I do love Six Tower
Flags
of Terror.
Can do it. I do love Tower of Terror
because the theming is so good and it's such a great
ride. I do too, but I also love Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, Rock and Roller Coaster is okay. It's a good roller coaster, but as far as like an overall attraction, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So that's all I got on the IG. What do you have on Facebook? Anything good?
Let's see. We'll start with Jim Wills. We got 1 dinosaur, two pirates, 3 Tom Sawyer Island.
Good one.
4 Living with the Land.
Good one.
And 5 Rock and Roller Coaster.
Very nice.
We got Vic Rosansky. We'll go descending order. Number 5, Spaceship Earth.
Mm-hmm.
4 Expedition Everest. 3 People Mover. 2 pirates, 1 Living with the Land. I mean, these are
our people.
You know what's funny?
These are our people
because these are old school traditionalists.
Yes, that's why they listen to us, because we have similar sensibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Sue chimed in from Marshall. Marshall, here's a young kid, number 5 People Mover.
He's a smart boy.
He is a smart kid. 4 Spaceship Earth.
We'll skip over 3 and 2.
I don't even know what two is. Number 3 is Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, those are both in Star Wars. Those.
Two. Oh, no, Smuggler's Run?
Yeah, that's Star Wars as well.
Isn't that sad?
Yes.
I don't even know what it is. And number 1, Space Mountain.
Nice. So he likes the thrills, but he's got he's got Spaceship Earth and People Mover on there. His parents have done a good job with them.
Then we got our friend Zach Tilbs.
Mm-hmm.
5, Expedition Everest. 4, Big Thunder Mountain.
Good choices.
3, Living with the Land.
Mm-hmm.
2, Flight of Passage. And 1, People Mover.
Smart boy. I mean, we got smart fans.
And
what
I'll
can
tell
I say?
You, number 2 is one of my favorite rides ever.
It's so good, but I've only been on it 2 times, so it's hard for me to have it.
And I've only been on it 1 time, and I was going to kind of pull a Dr. Fauci and just say we just don't have enough data right now.
We don't have enough data on that. Now, ironically, I want to mention, and I don't know what your thoughts on this, if it would have cracked your top 5. Soarin' Over California, would that have made your top 5 before they ruined it?
I didn't think they ruined it, because I had that on my list as honorable mentions.
See, it never even crossed my mind, because I dislike it. I like the old one so much better.
I like the old one better, but I wouldn't say so much better.
Yeah, see, I do. I like it so much better. So, do you want to hear what my wife had to say? I made her pick her top 5.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
So she said number 5 was Living with the Land, which is, she's a smart girl. I married a smart girl, what can I say? Her number 4 is Journey into Imagination with Figment. She's just got a soft spot for Figment, old school Epcot Figment. Even though she knows the old ride was better, but she still loves Figment enough that he made the top 5.
That's fair. Right, that comes from being a kid.
Space Mountain is number 3.
Uh-huh.
Spaceship Earth, number 2. And then number 1 you're not going to be happy with, but she loves it, is Toy Story Mania. She just has such a fun time on that. She's very competitive, though, so she likes the competition aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Because it's every time I go on it, I'm like, "What? I like this. Why did I always not like it? I do. It's really a lot of fun.
So, Yergina, I asked her what her top 5 was, and she just told me she only likes 2.
Okay.
And she
so
likes,
we have a top two.
She likes Small World would be number two, and the Frozen ride in Epcot is her number one.
Now, is that because she loves that movie so
she
much?
She loves the movie so yeah. much, yeah. It's, I mean, it's made for her. That ride was made for
right.
little girls and boys that age. I get it. It has its place in Fantasyland, but that's neither here nor there. We won't get into that. You want to do a couple honorable mention or do those after the break?
We can do it after the break.
All right, so let's take our second break here, and then we'll do a couple of our honorable mentions.
Happy haunts materialize.
And begin to vocalize. Grim, grinning ghosts are out to socialize.
Now don't close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grim, grinning ghosts come out to socialize. As the moon climbs high o'er the dead oak tree,
spooks arrive for the midnight spree.
Creepy creeps with eerie eyes,
starts to shriek and harmonize.
Grim, grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
When you hear the knell of a requiem bell,
weird ghost game where spirits dwell,
restless bones etherealize,
rise as spooks of every size.
When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake, spooks come out for a swinging way.
All right, we're back from break. Episode number 328 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast is in the books.
It is in the books.
We did our top five attractions at all of Walt Disney World. One that I just kind of thought of, which didn't even cross my mind, which may have cracked the honorable mention if I had thought about it, is just the Walt Disney World Railroad. I didn't really consider it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a great one. But that's neither here nor there. So what do you have for... I have like five honorable mentions, which is kind of tough because there's so many good ones. But why don't you go ahead and give me a couple of yours and we'll see what we have in common.
All right. I've got Jungle Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Space Mountain.
Okay.
Splash Mountain.
Yep.
Living with the Land. Soarin'. Test Track. And just outside of that top five, Peter Pan's Flight.
That would have been the next one if we did a top six, you'd think?
Yeah, or a seven, somewhere mm-hmm. around there, yeah.
So my next grouping is very different than yours, actually. None of those were in mine. Except for Living with the Land. So I had Living with the Land, which was probably my closest. I think that would have been my number six. Then Expedition Everest was just outside mine. Big Thunder, which we talked about. Carousel of Progress, and then Tower of Terror, which, again, I just love the theming on that one. So those are my honorable mentions. But like I said, Soarin' didn't make it. Test Track, I like Test Track, but it's not...
Yeah, it's not a top five. It's maybe not, top not even a top ten. I think I listed like 15 or so. Yeah. So,
I mean, there's only not only, but there's probably only like 15 rides that I really love at Disney World. The rest I could take or leave. So, like, you know, outside of those 10 that I listed, there's only probably another five that I would try to do every time I'm there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I go on vacation. And the other ones, it's like, okay, if I don't get to do Test Track on this trip, I'm not going to cry about it. But, like, I love the Three Caballeros. That one just holds a soft spot in my heart, even though I know it's not a great attraction. Even Rock and Roller Coaster, because I just like it. The Kali River Rapids is good. But then the ones in Pandora are pretty good. I just don't think they have enough to be top 10 for me at this point, but they're both. Yep. I like the river one a lot too, the Navi River Journey.
Navi
I think
river,
that's really good.
Yeah.
And then the Flight of Passage is just technologically amazing. Even though, like I said, I've only been on it twice, so it's hard for me to really have it in my top, but it's pretty good. I have to say it's pretty good.
You know what I noticed when we were doing this list?
What's that, sir?
When I was putting it together? What a great park Magic Kingdom is.
It's really good, attraction-wise. Yes, it's pound for pound, it's got the best attractions. Not a doubt about it. There's so much to do there.
But my problem is it's always crowded and there's too many bottlenecks. And when I just want to go up for the day, I want to go to Epcot and walk and eat.
But there's nothing to do there that isn't going on an attraction.
Right.
That's the problem. Like, you go to Tom Sawyer Island for a little bit. You can go in, like, the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. But even, like, the non-attractions are, like, Country Bear Jamboree, which I love, the Tiki Room, which I love, but you still just gotta wait, sit down, be done with it. You can't like take your time with something there. There's nothing that you like. You could go into like the Germany Pavilion at Epcot, and you could spend 2 hours there looking at the the cuckoo clocks and the blown glass, and then you go in and you look at all merchandise and. There's not a single attraction there.
Going to the bakery.
Yeah. You do all this other stuff. And you could do that in every country. And you're not pushed along. Like, you go to Country Bear, and it's great. Like, you wait, you go in, you sit down, and you leave. You can't stay in there and, like, look at the animatronics, walk up on the stage, and do it. Like, it's just very different.
Correct.
I think we both like the passive stuff, where you could just kind of do it at your own pace.
Right.
And you do, like, that's why Animal Kingdom, I think, appeals to us, because when you do the walking treks of like where the animal exhibits are, you just do them at your own pace. You go different directions. You're not forced or pushed along or made to leave at any point. And that's the same with Epcot and World Showcase. There's just so much to do that you do at your own pace that it just feels different. And I love Magic Kingdom, so I'm not saying it as a bad thing, but when I go there, I just feel like I'm just going from attraction to attraction,
bouncing around,
trying to get as many done as I can, because that's really all there is to do there.
You're in a pinball machine.
Like, I don't want to go. Like, I like going into the shops at Disney World more than I do anywhere else. Like, I like shopping at Disney World even if I don't buy stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really care to hang out at the Emporium. It's always too crowded. The stuff isn't, like, geared towards me like the Epcot ones or even the World Showcase ones are. So it's just, like, it's not even, like, something where you could go. For me personally, like, go into the shops and just do that.
Just stop browsing.
And the food's lousy.
Food's pretty poor there.
The snacks are good. I will say that. They get, like, I'm a Dole Whip guy. I like the Dole Whip. There's some pretty decent snacks at Magic Kingdom, but as far as like a meal, you're hard pressed there. So it always comes back to food at the end of the day, doesn't it?
It always does, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Is there anything else we should talk about here, or do you want to just bring it on home?
Let's bring it on home.
All right. Thank you for listening. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WDWBTG. Our website is WDWBTG.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you can find your podcast. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gate, subscribe, watch our videos, give us thumbs up and all that kind of stuff. What else? Did I forget anything?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
I said that. I think we're good. I think I got everything.
Web address.
Yeah.
Yeah, you covered it all.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you for listening to episode number 328 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. For my co-host, Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. MIC.
See you real soon.
KEY.
Why? Because we like you.
MOC.